Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And today we're going to continue talking about the darkest minds. Remember, last time we were talking about the author herself, Alexandra Bracken. Okay, she's only in her 30s now, but she's from Arizona, and she's written quite a few novels in the young adult fantasy genre.
Mm-hmm.
So again, she lived in New York for a while, working in the children's publishing industry. She worked in marketing, and then she moved back to Arizona. But that's okay because her novels are being published left and right. She doesn't need to live in a city like New York with all the traffic and all the stress and all the noise.
No, but then she's right there. She can go see the Yankees games. I would stay in New York.
She can go see the Diamondbacks in Arizona. Who cares? Baseball is just as boring no matter what team you're watching.
Stop it. I love baseball.
But in any case, indeed, she's a successful author here.
She is.
And so we talked about the darkest minds, mainly because it's coming out as a movie, but of course we recommend the books. And today we're going to go back to the actual book, The Darkest Minds. We're probably talking about the entire series here, and we're going to talk about some of the themes and ideas in this book.
Right now, guys, we're going to read through today's lesson. The main theme in The Darkest Minds is that reality is not what it seems. Ruby and her friends realize that trust can be broken in a second. At first, Kate and her boyfriend, Rob, seem to be kind and helpful. But then Ruby uses her power to see Rob's recent memory of killing two adolescents in cold blood. Ruby trusts her instincts and escapes. The Slip Kid, a fellow Orange, initially appears to be a good leader and helps Ruby learn to control her powers. However, he leaks the location of East River to the military, sacrificing many of the children hiding there so that he can gain power and control. Ruby's friend Chubbs sums up the story's central theme when he says, "The darkest minds hide behind the most unlikely faces." The novel also deals with the theme of living in a world after a serious disaster. Because of the mysterious illness killing most children, the country's labor force and economy have collapsed. The people who remain have to struggle for food and housing, as most people have no jobs or money. This illustrates how a single, terrible event can change one's normal life for good. In addition, Ruby makes an important journey from youth to adulthood. When she first enters Thurman, she is forced to live the life that authority figures set for her, despite her young age. It is only when she is freed at 16 and has the freedom to bond with others and control her powers that she learns to trust herself, fall in love, and become a stronger and more mature person.
Okay, let's talk about the struggle of young adults in The Darkest Minds, our featured work of literature this month. And the main theme in The Darkest Minds is that reality is not what it seems.
Yeah.
So, yes, how we perceive reality, of course, we take that for granted. Most of the time, what we see, we think is real. But in this book, what we see may not be the truth. It may not be what we think it is.
We often use this phrase, looks can be deceiving. What it looks like can really trick you or fool you. That's what deceive. Deceive means to trick or fool someone. So looks can be deceiving. So what you see may not be real. You got to find out what's going on underneath the surface. So we've got Ruby and her friends. They realize that trust can be broken in a second. You earn somebody's trust, but if you are disloyal or you disappoint them, it's hard to earn that trust back. Once trust is gone, good luck getting it back. So always be loyal to your friends. That's a good lesson to learn when you're young. Now, at first, remember Kate? She works for the Children's League. I remember when we were first talking about Kate, I went, oh, she's a good person. Good. She's trying to help those kids get out of the camp, you know, where they're being forced to do hard labor and awful things by the guards. But Kate and her boyfriend have another plan for the kids that they don't tell the kids. kids about. So she seems to be kind and helpful. That's what's on the surface. But then Ruby uses her power, remember she's an orange, to see Rob's recent memory of killing two teens, adolescents or teenagers, in cold blood. So he didn't even, you know, kill them because he was protecting himself or defending himself, or it wasn't an accident. He meant to kill those two kids. Horrible.
That's right. And the memories were still fresh in his mind. And Ruby has the ability to see people's memories. So he can't hide those memories. So she knows they are up to no good, especially because of Rob killing those two young people in cold blood. Adolescence, of course, is the period of time when you're changing from a child into an adult. So he killed two adolescents, two teenagers, as you said, in cold blood, which means basically he was very cruel about the whole thing, and he didn't show mercy at all. He just let them have it, and now they are dead. Now, Ruby trusts her instincts and escapes. So she trusts her instincts. Mm. Instincts, of course, is your ability.
Gut feeling inside.
Yeah, the ability you basically were born with, like spiders must have an instinct to build webs when they're born. For some reason, they're able to do that without being taught by their mother spider or something like that. Or maybe they are. I don't know. I don't really know much about entomology. But in any case, she's got these instincts. She's got the sixth sense. She's got that second sense or whatever. And she suspects that something is no good. And she escapes. She flees. She runs away.
Yeah. Now, there's a guy called the Slip Kid. He's another orange guy. So he's in the same group as Ruby. Initially, as we say at first, he appears to be a good leader and helps Ruby learn to control her powers. Those powers that they have are very, very big. Unless you can control them, they can hurt people. So he helps Ruby by learning how to use and to control her powers. But here's the bad thing. However, it says, he leaks the location of East River to the military. We hear this word leak in the news a lot lately. It's where people or officials secretly give away confidential or secret information to people that shouldn't have it. Typically, in today's world, it'll be maybe a politician giving a newspaper some information that they shouldn't have. Maybe it's top secret. Well, he leaks or gives away that location of East River to the military, sacrificing many of the children hiding there so he can gain power and control. So he tells the military, and then they descend or come to East River and they take away the kids. And that leaves a Slip Kid with a lot more power and control.
My goodness, yeah. It seems like you can't trust anybody here.
I know.
Right, so it seems good at first. He helps Ruby learn to control her powers, but he leaks the location of the East River, and lots of children are sacrificed as a result. And he did that only so he could get more power control. What a mean person. Now, Ruby's friend Chubbs sums up the story's central theme when he says, "The darkest minds hide behind the most unlikely faces." So we never really know what other people are thinking. Maybe they have this really sweet face, really nice smile and stuff like that. They brush their teeth every day. They comb their hair. They get rid of all the dirt in their pores. They don't have any zits at all. They've got wonderful, perfect faces, but still inside, they are rotten to the core.
You know, we often use that phrase, don't judge a book by its cover. And sometimes we use it to say, you know, someone might not be the prettiest, but inside they're wonderful. But it can also apply here. Something could look really good on the outside and be rotten inside. And so I love what Chum says. When you sum up something, guys, you just kind of declare something. Maybe there's a lot of information and you just summarize it or put it into one or two sentences so it's quite small. But I love this theme he comes up with. The darkest minds hide behind the most unlikely faces. Those faces might look really kind and sweet and appear to want to help you, but inside they really want to hurt you. I think this is a great lesson for young adults to learn, to be very careful in placing trust in people, to know who they can trust and why.
And the opposite might be true as well. Really horrible looking mean faces actually might be the faces of people that are actually very kind and sweet.
That's why we say don't judge a book by its cover. You got to see what's inside. Don't look at just the external, outward appearance of someone. Look inside them.
And I wonder how much Chubb can be trusted as this story continues. Now, moving on now to the next paragraph here, it says the novel also deals with the theme of living in a world after a serious disaster. Now, if you go back to the very first page of our lesson, of course, we mentioned the fact that there was a mysterious plague that was killing young people across the United States. Sometimes these worlds of the future are really terrible because of some big war or something like that, or because of an alien invasion or a massive volcanic explosion or something like that. Who knows? In this particular case, though, it was because of some disease. In this particular book, what happened was is that most of the young people died except for the ones that had these special powers.
So we're going to go on and continue talking about what the novel wants to say. What's the message inside, guys? The theme of some of the situations. Usually books have several themes, but before we do that, we're going to break for a minute and listen to our Chinese teacher.
大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest， 我是哈利。今天我们要阅读的文章是文学单元 Unit 12的第三天课程。在今天的文章中，我们将会阅读到小说《暗黑之心》所要探讨的主题。首先，我们看到第一段的第一句和第二句。The main theme in The Darkest Minds is that reality is not what it seems. Ruby and her friends realize that trust can be broken in a second. 这两句中都有用 that 引导一完整句子，作为名词子句。第一句的That reality is not what it seems 放在 be 动词 is 后面作为主词补语修饰主词 The main theme in the darkest minds 说明主题的内容我们再举一个 that 名词子句做主词补语的例子 My biggest dream is that one day I can earn enough money to travel around the world 我最大的梦想是有一天我能赚够钱来环游世界第二句的 that trust can be broken in a second 放在动词 realized 后面作为 realized 的受词说明了解了什么事情我们再举一个 that 名词子句做受词的例子 Many nutritionists agree that a balanced diet and regular exercise are the key factors in losing weight 许多营养学家同意均衡的饮食和规律运动是减重的关键要素我们接着看到第一段的倒数第二句。However, he leaks the location of East River to the military, sacrificing many of the children hiding there, so that he can gain power and control. 然而他却把东河的地点泄露给军方，牺牲许多藏身在那里的孩童，以便他取得操控权和支配权。动词 leak 在本句是泄露的意思。Leak something to somebody 就是指泄露某事给某人。Leak 也可以用来指气体或液体漏出或渗出。例如 ,The damaged tanker leaked oil into the ocean. 这个损坏的油轮漏油到海里。Leak 也可做名词用有漏洞裂缝的意思。片语 ,spring a leak 就是指突然裂开一条缝。例如 ,after the earthquake,The roof of our house sprang a leak. 地震过后，我家的屋顶裂出一条缝。另外 ,leak 当名词也有泄漏、漏出的意思。An oil leak 就是指漏油。A gas leak 就是指瓦斯漏气。此外，这句用了一个句型 ,so that 是为了、以便于的意思。后面接一完整句子。例如 My father left for work early so that he wouldn't miss an important meeting. 我爸爸早点出门上班，以免他错过一场重要的会议。 So as to 也有为了的意思，相当于 in order to. 和 so that 不同的是 ，so as to 后面只接原形动词，不接一完整句子。例如 ，Jill studied hard so as to pass the exam with flying colors.吉儿用功读书，为了能够高分通过考试。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, we shall now resume our lesson, and we're talking about some of the themes and ideas in The Darkest Minds, and one of them was reality is not what it seems, and then Chubbs kind of summed it all up for us. The darkest minds hide behind the most unlikely faces. Mm. So don't trust anyone, or maybe trust the people who don't seem very trustworthy. My goodness, things can get very confusing in the future, especially after a serious disaster, which is kind of what this book is all about. The novel also deals with the theme of living in a world after a serious disaster. And as I mentioned before, there could be several different kinds of disasters, but this particular disaster is a mysterious plague. And because of the mysterious illness killing most children, the country's labor force and economy have collapsed. Now, I hope our author here has a background in economics, okay, so that she would actually know what happens, you know, like what would happen if most of the world's children all died all of a sudden, what would happen to the economy. That hasn't really happened in the past before, so nobody really knows for sure, but you need to know a lot about society and the economy and stuff like that to know exactly what would happen. According to this novel, the country's labor force and economy have collapsed. So yes, we don't have enough people to work in the factories, so there's no production, and therefore people aren't making money, and they don't have spending money, so they don't go out and buy things. They don't eat out at restaurants, so all the restaurants close. All the Walmarts close because they don't have enough money to buy cheap goods from
here
China.
Here it would be Costco, like not Walmart, right?
Well, we don't have Walmart here in Taiwan or Target or whatever, but in any case, as a result here, they don't have a labor force. There's not enough people around to work, and the economy has collapsed. So the economy, of course, refers to just all commerce in society. When people make money, when they spend it, et cetera, et cetera. That's economics. The economy. Is the economy doing well now, or is it doing badly? You tell me. And sometimes that's reflected in the stock market. If the stock market's doing well, then the economy is doing well as well. But in any case here, those things have collapsed. And if something collapses, it falls down into little bitty pieces.
If a person collapses, they've probably fainted. Maybe they're sick and they, you know, they just kind of crumble to the ground. So a house can collapse. When there's a really strong earthquake, there's a danger of old buildings collapsing, just falling down. So the economy has collapsed. It's hard for people to make any money. There aren't any jobs. For a minute there, I thought of 9/11 in New York City. When the World Trade Towers came down, it really affected the economy in New York City especially. So it can be a tough time for everybody. The people who remained in this area, remember, lots of kids have died from this disease. They have to struggle for food and housing. They don't have a place to live, hard to get food. Sometimes if there's a war, it's very difficult for trains and big trucks to transport food in and out of areas because the roads maybe have been blown up. So that can be difficult. So food is scarce. Housing is hard to find. And as most people, because of this big disaster, they have no jobs or money. People are desperate, I'm sure. It says, this illustrates how a single terrible event could change one's normal life for good. Things can happen very quickly in life. Even if it's your own personal family, if you have a tragedy, it can change things so quickly. To illustrate means, usually we talk about illustrating as kind of giving an example of something, maybe showing someone a picture. There are illustrations in books. Those are drawings that are put in books or newspapers. We also use this, though, to talk about explaining something or making something clear. But this is kind of giving a picture, giving you a look at how a single terrible event can change one's normal life for good. For good just means forever, right? For good. I'm never going to go out with him ever again. I'm done with him. I hate him. And if you're done with someone for good, you're never going to be friends again.
Oh, no, that sounds very terrible, but that could happen in such a world if there's a big disaster. And let's face it, there really hasn't been a big worldwide disaster since World War II. I think maybe we're all kind of spoiled now if something bad really happens.
The economy was kind of tough in 2007, 2008.
True, but it wasn't
like
the major.
War, huh?
It wasn't like the Great Depression of the 30s or
World War II. That was
or
bad.
World War II or something like that. Who knows? There might be a nuclear war. The global ice caps will melt. The Yellowstone super volcano will explode, and the Earth will be covered with clouds for many years, and all the dinosaurs will die out. Well, that happened 65
million
years ago.
Yeah, I think dinosaurs are gone.
Well, maybe the birds will all die now. Who knows? But in any case, yes, indeed, your life can change for good if there is some major catastrophe in the world economy. Now, moving on to the final paragraph here, it says, in addition or also, Ruby makes an important journey from youth to adulthood.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes this might be referred to as a coming of age book. It's a popular theme. It's a popular genre in literature and in films. Usually it involves a young person who's like maybe 15 or 16, but then they're confronted with a situation and they have to grow up quickly. So that's like a coming-of-age story, or oftentimes maybe it could be like, you know, somebody going to high school or something and falling in love for the first time and applying for college and things like that and having fights with your parents. But in the end, you become an adult and you've learned a lesson. That's kind of like a journey from youth to adulthood. Again, it's like a coming-of-age story.
Now, when she first enters the camp, remember the camp is named Thurman or called Thurman. Thurman's a guy's name, but it's kind of old-fashioned. So she first enters the camp. She's forced. She has no freedom, no choice. She's forced to live the life that authority figures set for her. If someone has authority, they're usually in politics. They have the ability to change laws. Or maybe they're with the police or the military. They have authority. A figure here could be a number, but not here. It's actually a person. So be careful when you see this word figure, because it can mean a number, a digit, you know, like 5, 7, 10, 14. Or it could be a person. Authority figures here set really strict rules for her. So she has no freedom inside this camp, despite her young age. She enters the camp at 10. Remember, and then she spends the next 6 years there until Kate gets her out.
Exactly. So we're dealing with these authority figures and the examples that they set for her. And I did want to mention also another meaning of the word figure would be the appearance of a female body, basically.
Yeah.
You don't really use that for a man's body.
Yeah.
But if you talk about a woman who's got nice curves, good measurements and stuff like
that,
you'd say, yes, she's got a good figure.
But you're right. With guys, we just say he has a nice build. B-U-I-L-D. His build is very nice. Or, oh, he's got great muscles, something like that.
He's got six-pack abs. Or he's a really macho guy. He's really buff.
He's got a good bod.
You could say that.
B-O-D, good bod. We often say that.
He's a real hunk. Maybe
he's
you could say that. A hottie.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a man. I'm not supposed to be talking like that. But in any case here, yes, we're talking about people, authority figures, authority people, for example, and the results or the consequences that she has to face because of their decisions, not her decisions. So they set these rules for her despite her young age. They could be nice to her since she's a young girl, but hey, she's got that extra power, the orange category power, and she's just somebody they don't want to take any chances with.
They really have to control her. I wanted to mention, you could simply replace figures with authorities. She's forced to live the life that authorities set for her. Of course, we want you to learn the word figures and the different definitions of that word. Now, it's only when she's freed at 16 and has the freedom to bond with others and control her powers that she really learns to trust herself. She falls in love and she also becomes stronger and more mature. Now, here we're talking about bonding with someone. Bond can be a noun or a verb. It just means to grow close with someone, to have a really close friendship. You have a bond with them. And she also learns to control her powers, which is very important. And learning to trust yourself at that age is super important. She falls in love with Liam, remember, and becomes a stronger and more mature person. If you're mature, you act more like an adult would. You You don't make silly decisions or act in a very selfish, childish way. You tend to act like you have reached a stage of development where you make good, logical decisions.
That's right. And so she has become an adult now. She can make her own decisions. And hopefully she'll be able to face some more challenges in her adult life. Hopefully this series will continue on into the future. Okay, that brings us to the end of our discussion for today. It's time now to listen once again to our Chinese teacher.
我们接着看到第二段的第二句。Because of the mysterious illness killing most children, the country's labor force and economy have collapsed.由于这个神秘的疾病杀死大部分的儿童，此国家的劳动力及经济因而随之崩盘。名词 economy 是经济的意思。Boost the economy 就是指促进经济。Boost, B-O-O-S-T. Stimulate the economy 就是指刺激经济。Stimulate, S-T-I-M-U-L-A-T-E. Revive the economy 就是指振兴经济。Revive, R-E-V-I-V-E, 和 economy 相关的两个形容词是 economic 和 economical. Economic, E-C-O-N-O-M-I-C, 意思是经济的。例如 ,many college graduates can't find a job, partly because of the economic recession. 许多大学毕业生找不到工作,部分是因为经济衰退。另一个形容词 economical, E-C-O-N-O-M-I-C-A-L, 意思是省钱的、节约的、经济实惠的。例如 ,This car is economical because it does not require a lot of gas. 这台车经济实惠因为它不需要太多汽油。我们接着看到最后一段的最后一句，这句使用了强调或分裂句型 ，it is 或是 it was 点点点，然后 that 点点点，有正是什么的意思。将一个句子中要强调的部分，通常是主词或受词，放在 it is、it was 和 that 的中间，句子剩余的部分则放在 that 的后面。如果强调的部分是人 ，that 可以换成 who。强调的部分是事物 ,that 可以换成 which。例如本来的句子是 ,Jack cheated on the exam, 杰克考试作弊。如果要强调正是 Jack 作弊可以写成 ,It was Jack who cheated on the exam。以上就是今天的课程谢谢大家收听。
That's it, guys. Day 3 is over. So is our literature unit. We hope you'll join us for our next program on English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tom.
See you later.